Welcome, guys. Come and share. Imagine running into these two blokes.
Oh, yeah, I guess I'll take the mic. Should we get an... Oh, anyway.
What?
From here?
This one.
I guess. Anyway. I'm Isaiah. Hi. Nice to meet you. I've been going here like my whole life, so like... Anyway. A couple weeks back now, like 3 weeks back, we got like on a mission trip. Yay. Yeah. Yay. It was pretty cool. It was kind of spontaneous. We didn't really know what we were getting into. As we said last time we were here and you all prayed for us, which is really cool. But yeah.
I had no idea what was going on. It was just like any of the activities that was going to happen, it was just going to Indonesia.
Yeah.
I didn't even know which island we were going to. I thought we were going to Java.
He sent me a text and he said Java. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But yeah, he sent me a message one day and was like, so Ed's going on a mission trip. Like, you want to hitch a ride with him, basically? That was pretty much what he told me. I was like, yeah, sure. Take a week off of work. That'll be great.
In Indonesia, so.
In Indonesia. And I had experience in Indonesia, so I was like, yeah, I'll go there again. Although it was a different part.
I guess the main idea of like the trip was a camp. Yep, that is Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the left in that like kind of oval shaped island. One. There. Next to a lake.
So it's underneath this giant volcanic caldera. And it's like seriously pretty. It's like up in the mountains.
Oh, we didn't go to the lake.
Yeah, we didn't even see it, actually.
Apparently, yeah.
But it was
actually, Ed and Paul got to see it for like the fifth time now because the pastor they were with made them go there. But we missed out, so.
And they sat on a golden throne in the pastor's house. It was like crazy. Anyway, so we had to sort out all our documents and stuff, right? And eventually, after like begging mom and dad for some money, we got there. And that's
the world's tiniest airport.
It's just a building, and they only have one plane come in like every like few hours or so. And it's like the most disorganized thing ever. Everyone gets off the plane, and they just dump your luggage on this little... It's not even a belt, really. It's just these metal poles that spin.
Yeah.
And everyone swarms it, and you can't get in.
Just
you have to, like, push through.
Just hope the bag comes out.
So we got it eventually, and we were, like, swarmed by, like, the local paparazzi as soon as we got there. They were taking photos. We had, like, the taxi cab drivers come.
Yeah, they were, like, trying to get you to get
in the taxi. So we got, like, escorted into this van and with our luggage, hoping that our luggage was in there. And we had to drive through the countryside. So, like, we got, like, a bit of a picture of, like, the kind of area it was as we were, like, going through it. It's, like, pretty rural. That's before those guys. Yeah. But, so we got an idea of, like, the kind of people and, like, the conditions they were living in as we went to, like, the biggest building, like, in the area, pretty much, which was the hotel we were staying at.
Yeah, most of the town was, like, pretty run down. Like, most of the houses were just like that.
Yeah, so that's the view from our veranda.
It was weird, though, because there were, like, two little oases of, like, kind of modern-looking, I guess, which was the hotel we were staying at. And then there was this random coffee compound area.
That was pretty.
It was weird.
Anyway, so those were the cool places, but everywhere was cool. Everywhere was pretty. The weather was perfect. And the people there are just like the nicest people like ever. Like, we're just walking down and we're just saying hi to all these people. These kids come up, play with them. These kids kept like asking our names and stuff. You can't actually see them, but they're there. In that photo, then they're playing on like this metal equipment. It's just this metal, like metal bars, and they're just like doing flips and stuff on it. It's crazy. Anyway,
should probably get into the meat of it, which is the camp. So the main thing was the camp.
Well, actually, the first thing was a wedding.
Oh, yeah, there was a wedding.
We got roped into that, and we had no idea who they were.
That was really random. Anything. We didn't know that was going to happen. We went to breakfast one morning, and we were just sitting there, and Ed comes on and like, oh, yeah, going to a wedding.
So, like, so get dressed.
Get, like, a fancy shirt and yeah, that one for pants. Ages.
They had strict rules about, like, all the clothes you wear. Like, you can't show too much skin. I brought, like, five pairs of shorts and a pair of pants, and I didn't wear any of the shorts the entire time, pretty much, because I wasn't allowed to. So
the governor thing.
And the governor thing. Well, I didn't take any photos there, but eventually we got roped into this big trek after the ceremony.
Yeah, the whole thing was just like get into a bus and just end up somewhere. It was really chaotic.
We were like,
we ended up at a reception afterwards, mm-hmm. and then they all left us behind. So it was just a small group of us, and we were like standing there in the hot sun, and then a bus turns up, and then apparently we were supposed to get into it. And then I fell asleep on the way and I woke up and we were at like some government building. So yeah,
they drove us an hour to this guy's house on like a mansion on the hill. And he's like this super important dude. And we had no idea what was happening. We got a picture and then he took us up the mountain to the very top. I didn't take any pictures, but anyway. And basically they gave us this whole land to use like next year. For the camp,
yep.
which was the main purpose of going there. So we were kind of just bumped around everywhere and it all kind of turned out all right. So yeah. And then another day, the day after, we went out to like 15, 20 odd different churches everywhere, like in the area. And they're like the smallest buildings ever and they're just super cute. And we had to like squish into like these cars. We only had two cars. And so we had to like dump like 12 people in it, and so like I'm on top of everyone in between these 2 6-foot-3 giants from the YWAM Brisbane team.
It was like 13
team.
People in one car.
It was so crazy.
I wasn't. It was like a list of people who were assigned to different churches. My name wasn't even on the list. They told me to just like go with whoever. So I ended up like sitting in this restaurant with some kid, and I taught him how to play speed. And then someone said, oh, we should go now. So yeah. I left with them. And I ended up at like this tiny like 15 people church. Yeah, it was...
The church was really cute though. They had like their own little worship choir and dances at the front of the odd 20 people that were in the building. And we just like, we got everyone to like share their testimonies and stuff, like do a sermon. I went with a person from YWAM Bandung, which is in Indonesia. And YWAM's Youth of the Mission. So basically,
there were three different YWAM teams with us.
We had the Malaysian team,
yep.
who were all were not all Malaysian,
mostly Germans,
and Brazilians,
and like two Americans.
Yeah, that was they were awesome.
I think there might have been a couple Malaysians.
There were two Malaysians. Yeah. I went with one of the Malaysians. So she's Thea, and she shared a testimony there. And I went with another guy, Robert. And he is missing an arm, but he plays the piano like he's like insane at it. So he shared his story, which is really cool. And he's with the YWAM Bandung team, which is another part of Indonesia.
Should we mention the school as well?
Yeah, I did.
You go
take
back
a photo.
A slide.
Go back like two slides. That this one, yeah. Yeah. So we also went to a school, which is really interesting.
Kind of awkward.
We were sat in the assembly next to this. Really important looking dude with yep. like a badge on his shirt.
I think he might have been police or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. And Paul was there. And Paul is... who's Paul? He's like...
He's... Well, he's like the one who started the camp with Ed.
And he gave a really good talk there. And basically, we had the Brisbane YWAM team give like a little skit about Jesus so that they could understand it all. And we had Sharon share a testimony about like Jesus's accepting love for like everybody. And then we went out and prayed for all these kids.
We did one-on-one prayer, which is...
And it was good, but it was awkward at first because none of them wanted prayer. We went to the back where all the people hanging back were, and they were just like, no, please don't pray for me.
Yeah, none of the boys wanted prayer because like we had to force them to come up. And then...
yeah.
No, one kid, like his friends forced him to come up like, to pray
for him. Push him and then, get him to do it.
But then all the girls were like coming up to get prayer. I'm like, I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to be doing this.
We meant to do it with the boys only, but we ended up praying for like all the girls. So anyway.
Down to the actual camp.
So go a few more slides. So that was all the stuff we did before the actual reason we were there. So the reason we went there was for this youth camp, basically, which would host like...
That was like a new level of chaos.
Yeah, it was like, it hosted up to like 600 people. We had 70 staff from across the world come to do this thing. And it's like, all right. And we're just, me and Lewis are just there helping out where we can, pretty much.
It's like next slide over, I think.
Yeah, keep going. Oh yeah, we'll do the video. So the awesome media team made this video of the camp. It goes for a while. So it goes on for a while, but basically that's the camp. So you get a bit of a picture for it. It was really intense. It was really cool. God was moving.
The way they did it was like they put us into these like staff departments. So everyone was doing stuff. We got in cleaning, of course.
Yeah. Best job out there.
It started with like a fairly like sizable team of people, and then it kind of shrunk down to just us two.
And Paul went up to
toilets
Lewis
and stuff,
and was like praying for him because he was on the cleaning team. He was like, "You're in the cleaning team," and he started praying for him. He's like, "Come on, give him strength." And yeah, so that's what we did. I was fine with it, but as it went on, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick of this. But
yeah, it was just like the same thing every morning. So like half the day is just us cleaning.
While they're all
second half is
worshiping and having the time of their lives. But it was good though. If we weren't there, nothing would have worked.
Sure. What happened?
Well, yeah, we did the cleaning every day, every morning. I got sick of it. But I also grew to like enjoy that time because we were always doing something and cleaning was like my break from all that, honestly. And I got to like chuck on my worship music and like talk with these guys and another dude who was sometimes there. We had like deep convos. It was really good.
So the way the camp worked was like there was a morning session where it was just like, preaching and then worship and ministry, all that. And then they had like this... Most of the day was like this small groups thing, and that was the big chunk of the day where we just kind of did nothing. So like the YWAM people were in charge of that. And then there was the night session, which is when everything got like, you know.
It got pretty intense, but so the first night was
really
pretty
boring.
It was really boring. They had government officials from like the whole area and pastors and this military looking guy. And the governor that we met earlier.
All giving speeches that and wasn't translated, so you're just kind of sitting there.
We were just at the back, just like trying to stay awake through
it all. The chairs aren't comfortable at all, so.
They're just plastic. But the second night, after all that stuff was done, got like into the deep end. We had Paul give an awesome sermon. We had testimonies. And we had some of the kids come up and share their testimonies as well. So one guy had like recently just repented to Jesus,
and he'd been like witchcraft, I think.
He'd been like heavily like into black magic. That's one of the photos of us doing cleaning, the one photo. And he basically just saw this van driving past with like the flag of like our youth camp. So it's called KKR, which means like Indonesian
Chosen
Revival
for Purpose,
or something. Chosen for Purpose camp. He saw that and he drove like
20
hours or something to get to the camp. So that was pretty crazy. So people came from like all over and they had to sleep there. So we had to house like 450 kids in this big hall.
It was the big hall that they just like shoved all the girls in that.
And they're all like with pillows and like blankets.
I don't know, where were the boys at?
The boys were across the street.
We had to clean up all the boys' stuff.
In this building that the pastor gave us. So that was really cool of him. But it was really crazy. Like, I'm sure you saw in those videos, but when the sermon's over, we have prayer time, right? We have ministry. And everyone rushes forward.
Yeah.
And like bombs like the altar. And we have to like move all the chairs out of the way. So we have like the chair team and they just stack the chairs and shove it to the side basically while everyone comes down and just falls to their feet.
Yeah,
and
the shocking thing is like how quickly everyone just kind of like gets, you know, affected by it.
Like they instantly just start screaming.
Crying.
And people are out there. So we have all our staff just praying over everyone. And we had like demon possession and like miracles happening. Like we had everything going on. It was really intense. And I was like so overwhelmed at first. I'd heard about all that stuff, but I hadn't really seen it in person. So I was kind of shocked at first. And so I had to like stand back, like at the back, and just like look at everything and be like, yo, God, like, what do I do? Like, help me, guide me. And so we went with a few guys, like a few seniors. Well, seniors are like 40, but so one of them, his name's Ben. He's a really cool dude. He's a little immature though. He like nudged me the whole flight and I couldn't sleep. But he invited me over when I was at the back and he was praying over this dude who had just slain in the spirit and he was like on the floor like shaking and everything. And he was just like, just put your hand over his heart and just like pray the spirit over him. And I was like so tense, I was like, what? And so he just told me to like ease up and he like held my hand over his heart. And it was like, the spirit's gentle and loving. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And anyway, so at first I was really tense. And then as the nights went on and as we got to like be more experienced, I guess, and as we heard more sermons and everything, like it just became so easy. Like I just had to let go. I was forcing the spirit too much, I think. I didn't really know what to do, so eventually I just learned to just let go and let God move through these people because that's what he's doing. So, yeah.
Well, I had no idea how to pray out loud for people, so it might have been the Tuesday night. I felt compelled to go up to the front because people are already, like, on the ground and stuff. And Paul, you know, Paul's one of those people who can just, like, so he was there like with a group of people and they were like already going into the crowd and I was going to go over to them because I wanted to like follow them around, but some girl had like fallen on the floor, so I had to like kind of go the other way.
And there like was
another woman who'd gone with us from Australia called Faith. She was amazing. She had her own like missionary thing in the Philippines.
Yeah, so she started a preschool there in Manila, which is like the dirtiest city like ever, and they live in trash piles. So they started a preschool in the trash pile to teach people there. So that's where she is right now, actually.
But I asked her like to teach me how to actually do that kind of stuff, and she said sure. So and she's also amazing. She's the kind of person who can like just touch someone and they just fall. And she has like so much faith. Her name isn't actually Faith. I can't remember what her real name is.
But it sounded like failure.
And yeah, so she changed
people bullied her and stuff when she was a kid.
The name is fitting.
But then eventually Faith just stuck because they saw like how much faith she had in God. So it's a mad name.
And this is the pool where we got baptized.
Yeah, so eventually at one point, we had, without anyone's permission, Paul and Ed decided we are going to baptize these kids. And so at first, everyone put up their hand to get baptized, and there were like 100 people. But then the next day of the morning of that we're going to do it, only like 35, 40 kids came up. So basically they'd rung their parents like, yo, I'm going to get baptized, and being told like, no, you cannot get baptized.
The area is like quite conservative. Even the Pentecostal churches are kind of conservative. We got a lot of backlash from the local pastors afterwards.
Yeah.
So like you didn't even like consult us or anything.
And but we did anyway.
Yeah. Well, Ed said that he didn't want to consult them because he knew they were going to say no, pretty much.
So, but we did get to do it, and it was really good. But we did have to wear pants during it, which was kind of weird.
We came down from, like, you know, our board shorts, and, like, we had all, like, our towel and all that. And then everyone suddenly started saying, oh, we got a text, you have to change into trousers. So we had to, like, you know...
So I wore this.
Go back up and change.
And I was like drowning in that pool.
The only trousers we had.
But basically, what did happen and how we got to that was Ed came up and was like, "Okay, guys, make sure you like pack swimmers or something because we're going to baptize these kids and you're going to do it too." And we're just like, "We should probably get baptized first before we like baptize other people, eh?" And Ed's like, "What? You haven't been baptized?" And so yeah, Lewis is like, yeah, I'll do it. And I was like, I was unsure at first. I was like, I don't know. I'd been thinking about it for a while and I was trying to like find like the right excuse to do it, I guess. And so I just went to my room and I just prayed and I just realized like, I can't pull this off any longer. Like I have to do this. And so we went to the pool and we baptized so many kids. We had like 20 people in the water dunking. And then eventually we did it, so that was pretty awesome. And yeah, so that was super cool that we got to do that over there.
And then the night after we got the baptisms, go back like two slides. So the guy on the right there.
His name is Pedro.
He's a Brazilian guy who's the leader of the Malaysia team. And during the ministry of that night, he like asked me to come over and help him with prayer. And that's when we were doing like healing. So there was this one guy and he had this cane, like a metal cane. And he'd been hit with a motorcycle. So this part had like completely snapped. So all and they couldn't afford to get like a cast or anything, so it was just like this bamboo splint thing. So we were praying for him and then Pedro starts like praying for like you know, the guy's I guess alcoholism, I think, and then the guy fainted when he heard that. We kept on praying for him. And I wanted to see what would happen because I'd never seen healing before. But then someone like pulled me away and they took us to the front and it was like
They took us to the front and got us to like just hug everyone pretty much.
No, they were like getting people to come up and hug us. So there was this one girl I remember who was like crying on me and I kept on like looking over to see how it was happening with this guy. And then eventually it was like come to a point where I should probably let her like be alone. You know, like I prayed for her and stuff, but like, I went back over and then Pedro was like, where'd you go? And I had to go away and I pointed at like the massive
our shirts were like shirt. Wet with tears.
But I do remember gross. While she was crying on me, I remember like feeling this vision of like golden arms wrapping around us. And I remember her like sobbing even harder, which was really nice. So apparently with the guy, they were like trying to get him to see if he could like stand up, and it came to a point where, and this bone was fully snapped.
He could do disgusting.
That. Wow.
So definitely healed. The other person that we prayed over, I saw this woman like before the session started, and she was kind of hobbling like. That
she had so, to be like walked in like with another person.
Like kind of like twisted, so it was sort of atrophied and shriveled a bit on one side, and she had two children with her. She was sitting all the way at the back, and I told Pedro there was this woman. I told him about this woman, and so we went over and we started. He was like, "Lewis, do you reckon you could pray for healing?" And I'm like, "Oh, great." So I didn't want to do this out loud, and you have to like speak out loudly as well, because we had like an interpreter with us, So I had to like lay hands on this woman's leg and then start praying. Nothing much was happening because I was being a bit of a doubter because I was like, nothing's going to really happen. Like, it's not like her leg's going to like unshrivel. But Pedro kept praying and I was praying with him for this woman. And then he started praying over like, it turned into this thing where it was like she was feeling this resentment towards God because she felt like he wronged her in her life. Like, I think her husband might have died and she was in a lot of debt in the leg. And she told us there was like a bit of pain in her hip here. So we were praying for that. And there was a girl with us, so she laid hands on the woman's hip. And eventually it was like she started like breaking into tears and was like forgiving God, I suppose. And eventually the pain like disappeared. Like, her leg was still the same, but Pedro was saying he was convinced that like now that that kind of forgiveness was in her heart, like that would heal by itself. And then I got pulled away again. Because some girl was like had collapsed, and I was like helping them carry her out, and yeah, so the whole night was just complete madness.
Yeah, like it looked like a murder scene. There were like body bags like everywhere, yeah. And we had to walk over everyone, move them to the side so people could walk through.
A lot of like demon possessions.
Yeah, kind so of. That was pretty crazy for me too. Like seeing that, and I had to like help so many people like deal with it pretty much, because they're like thrashing about and screaming and like shouting. Like, this one girl was shouting like
it's
padas
hot.
Padas, which is hot, and that Jesus isn't her father, and we had to like get her like throw off this demon pretty much. But she didn't do it that night. But the next day we found her in the dirt with these other two YWAMers who exercised the demon.
And we got pretty desensitized to it, like, pretty quickly, because we were just, like, having a conversation. I think we were talking about, like, Star Wars or something, and they were, like, exercising this demon behind us. But, yeah.
They did it, though, and she got baptized. So if you go back to the baptism slide, she's the girl in the middle there. So that was awesome, seeing her do that. And these are my photos, by the way. Anyway. anyway, yeah. So we saw some crazy miracles, crazy things. It was awesome. It was such a good trip. And we're just so glad that we went because of how life-changing it was.
Well done. Well done. I felt we were there. I felt like we experienced the pain of being put in the cleaning closet, seeing just God do all these things that we don't understand, but also then by faith getting involved and seeing God do some stuff in you guys, but also around you, and that's just awesome. And to step out in faith like that and just trusting the people you're with and being thrown into vans and going, just go that way. That's huge. So, and I can see you guys have changed. Like, I see that in you both. There's something that God's done in you guys that's really, really great, and it's encouraging. And there's a life in you that has been breathed in, and it's and we're going to get to experience that and enjoy that as a church. So thank you for putting yourself out there. So it's very good.